Hey guys, this is Cole Weicker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. As always, tonight, you are listening to the Unused Substitute Show. We are your green and gold gospel, your best source for year-round rowdies coverage, live coming at you on Radio St. Pete Online and part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are presented in part by Roughneck Scarves and Taco Bus. My name is Stephen Cundiff. Joining me tonight, I feel like forever it's been a while since we've had like a real full crew, regularly. We have a full crew tonight. We've got Matthew Cox, we've got Daniel Andanino, and we've got a happy weekend of results to talk about. We're not moving on from this weekend this time. This is not Star Wars. We're not moving away from the Skywalker trilogy. We're talking about what was a historic victory this past weekend over Phoenix Rising. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
I just need to ask if the Skywalker saga joke is a reference to Phoenix basically being Tatooine.
I love you, Dan. I love you. Would you marry me, please?
I mean, it was perfect. I mean, I'm doing well. That it was a good soccer weekend for me between Liverpool and the Rowdies. I was a happy man.
Uncle Owen, I was going to go into Wild Horse Pass and get some power converters. I was trying to think on the fly there, like somehow to tie in moisture farming with hydration breaks and how the Phoenix's goal basically looked like the Lars household after the Stormtroopers paid a visit. But I didn't quite get it there in time.
I think you could have just said that their coach's post-match conference sounded like Luke whining.
Okay, so I did not tell you guys this because I like to just do things and not tell you guys in advance. I'm going to steal something from Soccer Crush, as I do every now and then. I got rapid fires.
Okay.
And I was actually going to throw this one to Steven first because I think I saw him first mention it. Steven, can Phoenix's coach coach? No, advance to the final technically 2 years ago, something like that. But has always had a really good batch of players, and now this year, number one, like obviously there's been a drop off in terms of results, but I also believe a drop off in some of the talent on the roster. But yeah, that press conference at the end kind of made me think that he's been doing the old Harry Redknapp, go out there and play, and may not be the right guy for the job in the long run.
I honestly don't know what that was. That was, I literally don't know what that was. I that was just the most bewildering post-game, like, I don't want to call it a presser, but like that was just the most the most random post-game comments from a head coach I've heard in a long time. Because, like, the basic premise of, like, what is the, like, oh, yeah, we came up against them because they've got two strikers or something. And it was like, yeah, but, like, we don't. So what are you talking about? Like, Hello? Like, I didn't even have words for it. I have no idea what he was thinking. Like, that reporter asks, like, a decent couple questions. Like, you know, do you think the fans deserve more or whatever? And he's like, eh. And I'm like, what? What? I mean, granted, let's be fair. There wasn't a lot of people in the stands that night. So it's not like there was a lot of pressure on him in the moment, since it doesn't seem like the Phoenix fan base gave two craps about that game. But, you know, like, oh, man, that was bizarre.
I will say, I will defend Phoenix fans with the Heat and the Phoenix Suns played that day as well.
It's
so
not hot
playoff
enough.
Basketball. And sitting in that Heat, I probably would have watched playoff basketball as well. But the rest of it was, I mean, the whole thing was pretty bizarre. The one thing I will say I did agree with him on is the insane scheduling. Like, he is right in the fact that they've played, you know, X amount of games, and then we're coming off like a week and a half break. And like, we dealt with that too. He did say that. It's just completely unbalanced and dumb. And we've talked about that before. So I don't want to, but that was the only part I agreed with him on. The rest of it was just like, I don't know if he was shell shocked and just words were falling out of his mouth or like what that was. I will say there's been times after we looked like, trash, and including the season where I thought Neil was going to go on a very Scottish rant with explicatives, but he has always been very measured and good in his. So I don't know what that was. If I'm a Phoenix fan, I'm asking some questions after that kind of press conference and performance.
So my follow up to that then is, Steven, you brought it up. And look, I'm never doing the crap on another team for their attendance. I think that's ridiculous. I'm more interested in like celebrating the ones who do show up and instead of crapping on the ones who didn't. But tuning into that game, I thought, and look, I only watch Phoenix games in Phoenix when Tampa Bay is playing them or when it's the Western Conference final going to penalties again. I thought Phoenix had like a reputation as one of those like packed house for all the games. And I get it's a Sunday night instead of a Saturday game. And I guess, yeah, the Phoenix Suns game going on there where you could sit in air conditioning in theory and watch this. But I was a little thrown off by that. That seemed odd to me.
Yeah, it was definitely startling. Considering like, I mean, I don't know, like, how do you get more of a marquee East Coast, West Coast matchup than that? I don't know.
You want to know the true sign that it was something weird? Because, yeah, it's national TV, even if it's ESPN News, which apparently is, like I found out the day before, still a thing. If you go onto the Game Center page on USL Championship, they do not list the announced attendance on the page. And that's one of the things that's usually right at the top of every single one. So yeah, that was interesting too. My second rapid fire, Dan, because I was going through and rewatching some of the highlights and some of the parts of the game. Was Seba trying to claim that second own goal as his own? Do you think he was trying to get that as the record tire? And if so, could you blame him in that circumstance?
I don't think so. I mean, can I blame him? No. You want, as a striker especially, you want to claim everything that comes in your like vicinity that goes in the net. But I think he knew that it wasn't his. It was an own goal. It was, but I think everybody's just happy because that game just... in that podcast Steve and I did about the pass and what's going everything, but and I kept saying we weren't getting the bounces or the breaks and everything. Everything bounced and broke our way that night.
Oh yeah,
it was a nice change for the season. I think just everybody, it was kind of probably cathartic after the first like 10 games of the season to have him a match like that against Phoenix.
And then I guess for both of you, because this just kind of jumped out at me looking at the stats, does it feel like the Rowdies only got three yellow cards in that game?
The Rowdies got three yellow cards in that game?
I didn't even realize they got three. Yeah, I didn't even realize that.
Well, first is the Deion Harris one where he is brought off the first time he stops for injury and is receiving treatment and apparently re-enters the field without permission from the substitute teacher, the center referee. Big substitute energy vibes from that guy. Big. And I know what I'm talking about. Then Lewis Hilton for time wasting after he boots the ball away like a microsecond after the whistle blows for a free kick. So I thought that was a little borderline. And then Lawrence White for dissent. And I'm just going to say I'm sure Lawrence earned that one. In an 86-minute thing.
We give Lewis Hilton a lot of props for, you know, his, you know, vision, his passing ability and everything. He does not get enough credit for being the troll on the pitch that he is. Like,
so,
like, I think that's the underrated aspect of his game, and I love it. And that little nerdy smile with his backpack, don't let it fool you. When he gets onto that field, he's a little troll.
On the flip side, I appreciate the fact that the Rowdies had 13 fouls in that game and did not get a single yellow card for any of the actual fouls. They were all for, like, random stuff.
Right.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It is funny because, like, the way that game played, because the yellow cards, because we dominated so much of that game and the yellow cards weren't for actual fouls, it was like, in some ways, you almost just forget that you got those yellow cards. It's like, oh, well, you know, okay, whatever. Like,
the one that stood out in my memory was Harris getting the for illegally coming back into the game, because I've never seen that before. Yeah. I have never, like, how does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, so as far as those moments, especially when you have a trainer next to you, usually the trainer will give you like a pat on the back or hold your arm or whatever until, you know, the referee plays you back on. Like, they're usually very interactive in that moment. And it was just really weird that, like, apparently both of them missed the cue. I don't know. It was weird. That whole thing was very strange. But that's all right. That's all right. Before we go any further here, you know who did not miss the cue? And that is our Patreon executive producer tonight, Mr. Brett Lackey. Thank you, as always, for supporting the show and supporting what we do. You have been a big part of this show and what we've been able to accomplish here with this show. So thank you as always for the continued support. If you want to tweet us some questions, some thoughts, some comments, positive or negative, during the show, during the week, whenever, at Unused Subs Pod is the best place to reach us. It is the number one spot without question on Twitter. So the Tampa Bay Rowdies,
real quick, let me jump in real quick here. Two fun facts about Brett. For a long time, Brett was the one dot on our listener map in New Zealand. And I could always tell when he was traveling between cities because he would pop up in one part of New Zealand and then like on the other side of the island like the next week or something like that. And also, and this might be the one that gets me in trouble, Brett is Corrigan's on Twitter. Breaking the news out there.
Oh, man. Why you got to go and do that? you're feeding off of the Jake LaCava chaos energy just a little too much with that reveal.
Oh, I'm still watching the, you know, I usually have my my alarm on my phone set to a particular song to wake me up in the mornings. And nowadays I turned it off the song and it's just a replay of Leo backheeling the ball through the Phoenix player's legs to LaCava for the goal. And let me tell you, that gets me up every morning.
Gets you a little excited there, Matt, huh?
but I'm going to derail that and say, like, that's the second time. Like, Seba did something similar on that one goal for earlier in the season. So it's definitely almost a designed play just to, you know, screw the defenses.
Does seem like that. All right. So this past weekend, the Blood Moon match. The Rowdies come in. We give up a goal, and then at that point, it's like blood for the blood god, because we just start scoring, and then they start scoring for us. It's the first time Phoenix has allowed 5 goals at home, and that's a period at the end of that sentence. Like, it's just the first time, period. Wow.
Couldn't have happened at a better time, in my opinion.
Not only is that the most goals they've allowed at home, the all-time aggregate between the Phoenix Rising and Tampa Bay Rowdies, Phoenix has now scored more own goals against themselves than they've scored goals against the Rowdies.
Good.
We don't even have to show up. We literally don't even have to show up, and it's just free points.
That just gave me an idea, because the first place I saw that from, and I'm going to assume the first place you saw that from, was from Mitch tweeting that out on Twitter. Which gives me an idea for a new segment for each match or for each show. Because we have done in the past, we've done like stat of the match and gone through the stats. What I propose that we add a new feature to our post match reviews called the "What the Hell" moment of the match. Since I am already assigned to get some audio of him this weekend, we need a "what the hell" fact of the match or something like that, and we'll just have it sponsored and announced by Mitch.
I think it would just be day. This week would just be Deion Harris going on the field with no.
Like, literally got a card for trying to play soccer.
It's weird, but whatever. That game, and obviously we don't know what's going to happen this weekend, and then we have more time off or whatever. But the way we roared back from that first Phoenix goal, by the end of the game, my feeling, and this is how much one win can change everybody's hope and optimism, was that that felt like that Red Bulls game that we went on, like that 8-game shutout streak, like that game that, like, they scored first, and you felt, oh, no, here we go again. And then the Rowdies just shifted into another gear, and it was just unstoppable. Obviously, again, that's not saying anything about this weekend. That's a completely different animal. But that's just that feeling I had at the end of that game.
Well, and you tweeted, Dan, after that first Phoenix goal, you tweeted something along the lines of, like, okay, here we go. And I was looking for, like, the GTA, oh, shit, here we go again gif. And I thought, no, I'm just going to hold off. I'm going to give it a few minutes. But I literally felt the same way. It was just like, well, it's going to be like that, huh? And then it most definitely was not like that, friends.
And then Jake LaCava happened.
You know, it's funny, though, because, like, Matt, you and I on our predictions for this week, neither one of us predicted shutouts for Phoenix. So, you know, it's funny because, like, on my perspective, when I'm watching the game, they score a goal and I'm like, I mean, that stunk because it was a fairly routine play. It wasn't anything magical on the part of Phoenix. And, like, we just, in that moment, we looked as awful as we had been at our worst moments during that streak of very bad, you know, results. And I'm just like, that sucks. But also, I mean, it is Phoenix, so it's going to happen probably every now and then against a team like that. Like, whatever. But, oh my gosh. Leo LaCava, like, oh. That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So that whole game goes to show like everything that could happen when you're a team that's had like a week and a half off. Because that first like 10, 15 minutes of the game, they're a little bit rusty. They're playing with Cochran again for the first time in goal. It's a little bit of getting your feet under you, getting the rust knocked off or whatever. Give up a goal, and it's like, crap. And then it's like, hey, let's go do the fun stuff that we worked on in training. Like, we stopped and played basketball and cornhole and baseball and whatever for a reason. It's to have fun. Let's go have fun out here. That literally, you know, Phoenix scores the goal, and all of a sudden we've crossed the threshold and we're in the multiverse and things are just happening all over the place.
So let's talk about the starting 11, because when I saw it, so we had our thoughts on our show last week about what, you know, what was important to notice about this team and where the positions were most troublesome and why we were struggling to get some results potentially compared to last season, you know, 11 games into the year. First thing right off the bat, because our starting 11 graphics always are the same, keeper first. As soon as we saw CJ Cochran as the starter, we're like, okay, all's fair. We can settle down. We can breathe. At least first, right off the bat, that's a logical choice. I'm happy. That settled for me a lot of nerves coming into this match as soon as the graphic came out. And then we got the news that Antley was hurt, and now Wyke was starting as a center back. And it was like, oh, okay, against Phoenix. Well, that kind of sucks. It was like, ouch. I'm going to be honest. Wyke does the same thing Antley does, which is different than Lasso. Wyke will play aggressively because he's not necessarily a lifetime defending, you know, defender player. He plays aggressively because he's naturally a midfielder. That first goal was kind of because Wyke kind of bit on a play and took himself out of position. Phoenix crosses the ball and there's literally just Guillen left. there's two or three red shirts in the middle. It's like, yeah, that's going to be a goal like 9 out of 10 times because that's just how that works. I thought after that moment, I thought the three of them in the back line played great. I had no qualms with how they played. I had no qualms with their positioning. All things considered, I thought Wyke did an admirable job. And again, depending on how long Antley is hurt with whatever the issue is on his end, you know, I think the team will be fine with Wyke in, you know, back there. In the middle, obviously you've got Dejon Harris on the outside. Dalgard was on the bench this week. It was good to see Dalgard back. And then Harris gets hurt and Dalgard has to come in. I'm hoping that the Harris injury isn't too big because, I mean, we've already got like three hurt players. We really can't afford too many injuries. Please, guys, stop it. Hilton back. That was good. That was something that we were worried about last week's show, was whether Hilton would be back for this match or not. And so him being back was fantastic. That was great news. Ekra, solid as always. You know, rounding out the top, right? Jake Ehrman. He played a great game. You know, we'll get to that in a second. And your top three were Fernandez, Dos Santos, and Lacava. I mean, at this point, you have to start Lacava every game. Like, if you want wins, you have to start what is your leading goal scorer. Like, period. Dos Santos, body presence, attracts a lot of attention. Even if he's not scoring goals, he can still possess the ball, hold the play up. He may not be doing it as effectively as, say, last year, but it's still a presence on the opposing back line that you can't ignore. So I think it's working, even if it's just a distraction. And Fernandez right now, the more creative he is trying to be on the field, the better the results of this team is getting. And it's really good to see him not forced to play as the outside mid, where he's basically like ball and chained against the touchline of the field. Getting him into the middle, getting him moving across the field has been, I mean, astronomically important for his gameplay. So I think right off the bat, we saw the starting 11. It addressed almost every concern we had coming into this match. I was confident from the jump.
Yeah, I felt, and I still do. We don't have any updates on either Antley's injury or Harris's current standing. The Rowdies are having their weekly press call with Neil tomorrow. I'm not sure if I'll be able to join it live, but hopefully we'll get some more information out of it. But you had to feel really bad for Connor Antley not to be able to make that trip and be in the game, especially once Phoenix subs in a 15-year-old academy kid, which is just like meat on the bone for Connor Antley right there. I just felt awful for him. I am curious. I did see the tweets and the emails this week about the Rowdies getting their summer camp stuff up and going. Is Connor Antley going to be a counselor? Do you have to sign special waivers if your kid is assigned to Connor Antley?
You're just being way too harsh on the guy.
No, I love it.
We're congratulating him.
With 6 days left in the school year, I am all here for people tormenting children.
It's only in context of, you know, match time. I'm sure he's great with kids outside of that.
Well, with his own, yeah. Let's score on him every time in the post game kids kicks and stuff and everything, but. He takes care of business with the kids on the field, and I just would have loved to have seen that.
I mean, it would have been great also to have Connor on the other wing. I mean, I know we would have probably seen him slot in that center back, but also having his creative presence. Granted, Dayon scored, but like if you know Dayon got hurt, we also have that option of moving, dropping Wyke back, moving Connor up, and blah 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 blah. I mean, injuries suck, and we're almost at the point where we need to probably maybe look at bringing somebody in, which we've been saying since, you know, the offseason. But it was a great team effort. I mean, Jake Ehrman looked good. Dayon scored. Lakoa scored. Leo was Leo. Like, it was great all around. Like, finally a complete team performance against a quality opponent.
And, you know, you look at the Harris goal, right? And, you know, that play happens because Leo possesses the ball in the middle. And instead of just trying to force something through, again, showing the vision, showing what he's capable of as a player, he recognizes that the drop back to Hilton is the best pass. And that was great. And then Hilton does something that the Rowdies have struggled to do at times this year and play it very direct in the middle. Harris makes a run coming off the right side, and instead of just looking for the long deep ball into the corner that sets up this long cross, Hilton plays him direct into the box. That is such a big and important thing. Now, it stinks, of course, that Harris ends up getting hurt like right away, and so we don't get a chance to see any more of that during the match, but that is something that is so wildly important because we haven't Harris doesn't get that opportunity often to get that ball in a play in an offensive manner like that. We're typically having to play him out wide and forcing him to beat a defender one-on-one, either on pace or the dribble, which is hard to do at this level. And, you know, that was a very, very good moment. The vision on that play to get that series of passes going was fantastic. And then the recognition that Jake Ehrman had right at the end of that first half. When they steal the ball, he picks up his head. He realizes that, oh my gosh, there's like nobody in front of me. Let's charge. Let's absolutely just go for it. You know, my tweet said the same thing. Holy recognition. Like, wow, was that fantastic? That cutthroat attitude. To see that there's an opportunity to move up the field and I'm going to take it as far as I can. And so the man goes all the way down the field, makes a nice little give and go, finishes. It's 3-1 Rowdies. And I mean, everybody's just like looking around going, what the heck just happened in Arizona?
Especially for him to be able to put that one on, you know, bank it off the far post from the angle he had. You know, I know Lewis Hilton gets a lot of love and he absolutely deserves every bit of it. The guy finally made the team of the week list, which has been a long time coming. and in a lot of people's minds is probably man of the match. But for me, for Ehrman to get that goal at that point in time in the game, because it's still 2-1 before then. It's still, you know, it's still anyone's game. The Rowdies had conceded first. They're trying to get into halftime without giving up a late equalizer, which has been a thing that has happened, it feels like. To get that one there at that time to go in 3-1, that absolutely took the just whatever confidence was left, I think, in some of those Phoenix players just out. If that you come into that second half, come out to the second half and it's 2-1 instead of 3-1, I think you see a different game. I still think the Rowdies at that point are going to hold on for the win because you've had this just amazing combination of crazy goals in the first half. And then you saw the pressure it put Phoenix under where, you know, sometimes you look at a game and you're like, well, we got lucky there was an own goal. Those goals were absolutely deserved by the Rowdies. Like it was the work and the chances were created. You know, if the first one doesn't go in off a Phoenix player, there's someone there to clean it up. If the second goal doesn't get knocked in, Guenzotti's right there to tie the all-time Rowdy scoring record. Like, I literally had to watch that replay a couple times because I was getting ready to tweet that he'd done it. I was hoping to. Like, you could tell that entire second half was get Seba the tying goal. That was the theme of the second half, to give him that goal and hopefully give him a chance to come home and score maybe the record breaker this weekend. Now he'll just have to score two. Sure, that won't be a hard thing against a Pittsburgh team, but we'll get to them in a little while. That just literally cannot say enough about the game. Like, it was incredible and amazing at the same time. Like, especially after that, even without that first goal, no one went into that game thinking we're walking out of here 5-1. But I wanted to go back to something that you touched on a second ago, talking about, you know, we may be getting into the area where some signings or some loans might be necessary due to injury and stuff like that. Number one, we don't know when or if Castellanos is going to come back. If you know, is he going to rehab in Nashville and stay there? Is he going to get to a point where they send him back? Either way, he would still have to work his way into some match fitness. But Devin Kerr said on the broadcast, you know, if I know, you know, Lee Cohen and Neil Collins, the way I know them, I would not be surprised if they've already got something, you know, in the works or have some plans or making some moves right now. And the way he said it, just it kind of gave me that, you know, sometimes we say stuff because we've heard things and, you know, not supposed to say things, but, you know, we can kind of hint at things sometimes. Like, it felt like that kind of thing. Like, maybe, you know, because we know they talk to them in the weeks leading up to games and get information. I kind of wonder if something might be going on, if something might be moving behind the scenes, and maybe we'll hear something sooner than later. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Not at all. I mean, I was half paying attention to the commentary. Sorry, Devin. But I don't remember even hearing that. But I hope so. I mean, we do need something. But I'm pretty sure Neil and Lee went right to work when Castellanos went down. Like, I'm sure they weren't just going to, you know, try to nurse this thing through. But I hope something's in the works, but I haven't heard anything. I'd be over the moon if we sign a defender in the coming days.
I thought the really interesting part going back to that, because I bet you probably missed this part too. And I'll be honest too with these guys. I didn't catch a bunch of the second half commentary because I went out and started looking at the moon because it was pretty cool. And we had a nice lead. But they mentioned, he mentioned going in and talking with Neil and the coaching staff before the USL final last year. And that, you know, there were some boards and some tactics and some things drawn up, obviously not for that game, but mentioning Lacava, like that was something that they had, I'm assuming not completed yet, but knew it was going to happen. And they were already working out, like, for this year, what they were going to do with him and how they were going to position him, where they were going to play him. And that's kind of cool stuff to hear.
It's the responsible thing to do if you are a powerhouse club in any soccer league or any, you know, across any sport. Got to plan ahead. And you got to know what you're aiming for. And so, yeah, I absolutely love stuff like that. It's definitely always encouraging to hear, you know, like, we know our guys are great when it comes to this, right? And, you know, it's always good to see it reinforced when you hear stories like what you saw or like what you heard this weekend. So 100%. You know, and it's funny, though, because, you know, to Neil's credit, right, how he builds his teams, what the expectations are for players. You know, now you're down three starters. Well, not three starters, but three, you know, very regular players at this point. Really four, right? You know, you're down to like four players at the moment on an already thin roster. You're playing at Phoenix. And what do? You don't just dominate the scoreline. You dominate every aspect of the game. We finished the match with 62% possession. That is gross. You know, 570 passes to 331. We're down four players that would have probably been a starting quality level most players, you know, most places in the league, right? You know, you play this match, we outshoot them 14-13. We outshoot them shots on goal 6-4. Like, it wasn't just that we beat them. It wasn't just that we got lucky and had a lot of goals happen to go in. It's we literally dominated Phoenix Rising. And, you know, it's funny to think that what we were talking about on the show last week, what we were talking about on the Sunday episode, me and Dan, this team just needed a rest. They needed a break. They needed time on the training ground because it was something that we talked about. You know, the match against Memphis, you go down to 10 men and you still are playing them toe-to-toe. You look at the San Diego match. Both teams, you know, back-to-back, you're playing opposition with long breaks ahead of those matches, and we're playing San Diego in a tie game all the way up until the 85th minute. Like, it was such a refreshing thing to be able to see the Rowdies breathe a little bit and see what they're capable of.
So feels like a good moment to slide in for the half full, half empties. Steven, you sound especially optimistic, which is very weird. I think that's a leftover multiverse thing. I know you just went to see Doctor Strange, so there's some madness going on there. Steven, what's your half empty?
I don't injuries because I don't have a half empty about the match. I mean, at this point, the only thing that really hurts is the fact that we're basically down, four players from the start of the year right now, you know, coming out of that match against Phoenix, because it's Castellanos, Antley, Etu, and now Harris, you know, are presently coming out of that match hurt in one way or another. And that sucks. But, I mean, that's all I got to say, because that match otherwise was exactly what the Rowdies are capable of, and we all knew it, I think.
All right, I'm gonna throw my half empty at you. And look, this is absolutely a result to still be sitting here talking about on Wednesday. Like, the guys have moved on, they're practicing, they're getting ready for Pittsburgh. That's fine. That's their job. It's our job to sit here and just be like, holy crap, that was great. Let's talk about it for an hour or so. I am gonna go a little bit half empty on this and say, it was good. It's a good result. It's an earned result. It's a deserved result. Phoenix was missing some guys. They had a defender out on a red card. Aiden Quinn didn't play at all for them. They still had a very strong team. Santi Moore is out there. Hurst, who's a leading scorer, is out there. Cejas is out there. It's still a very good team. But I don't want to sit there, and I hate when announcers do this, and I'm going to pick on Mike and Devin here a little bit. I hate when announcers do the thing where they're like, well, if the Rowdies end up winning the championship this year, they might look back at this game and say this is the turning point. Like, okay, guys, let's just chill. It's May.
Yeah.
It's a great result. I don't know if you play this same game five times, if you get that same result, this might be the outlier, honestly, all things considered. Great, we did it. We got off that streak. We did some nice work on our goal difference too. But let's string a couple of these together before we start pronouncing everybody's back. Like, let's do it against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, that's a big game. They're, I think they are second in the conference going into this weekend's game. That's a huge game for getting us up the table to the spots where we want to be. I'm just not declaring everything's all fine and dandy just yet, because you got to do this more than once, even though as great as a trip that was. Dan, go half full. This should be pretty easy.
Yeah, that's not hard. I mean, we just went 5-1 in Phoenix. To your point, we did this before. Like, we've done this kind of game before, though, against Atlanta, against Indy. Like, these performances are in the squat, which, like, so I don't know, you know, we just got beat up by a schedule and whatever. And I wanted to say before we jumped into this, and since I have the half full anyway, this is completely full. But today is like the fourth anniversary of Neil becoming our coach. And, you know, that first article said it was, I want to change the mindset of this club. And boy, did he. And like that break, that 2-week break that we had between, games, he showed what he can do. The man management of the field day, letting these guys breathe. I believe like they even probably had a little mini vacation, and just came back and made a couple of tactical adjustments, too. You could probably find in there. My eye will not catch it, but like that it goes to like who he is as like a manager. And I think, you know, we get lost in the success that we've had in these last couple of years, that like these rough patches that we had to start this season seem worse than they really are. So I'm not going to defend the whole like we'll look back on this as the turning point, but it could very well. I see their point. Because if we do go on a streak here, we can look back at this Phoenix game and say that's when the Rowdies like woke up and had a rest and were able to play their game. And whatever happened in that like bye week, Neil Collins made the adjustments. But on the flip side, we play Pittsburgh and then we're off again. So like momentum is going to, you know, cool off right there, too. But I think we just need to look at that Phoenix game and say like the Rowdies have this ability. We've seen it a couple times this season, and we just got to get the consistency, and it should be there now that the season schedule is going to return to normal soon. And this is the Rowdies we expect to see, and I think it's the Rowdies Neil wants to have out there week in and week out.
Yeah, I just saw literally a minute ago, I was going to say something about it. Some of the guys definitely got some time off. I saw a tweet about Lewis Hilton going home for about a week before heading back, and look, part of the, especially when you're in a slump, or I don't want to say a slump, but a not so fun streak like we were on, you know, you can try and work and train and practice your way through it, or take a break and get away from it. Both things are necessary, and you got to know when to do which one. And based on these results, you can't argue with what Neil did.
Absolutely. And, you know, results happen, and you know, we've seen some of these big swing games before, most notably like I think it was with Neil actually in the first season that he coached, the first full season, right, 2019. There was a match, and maybe I'm thinking this wrong, what, like, if I'm not mistaken, there was a match where we beat up somebody like 5-1 or 5-0, and then we immediately turned around and like lost a game like 5-0. Or like we'll win a game like 5-1 and then draw the next one 1-1 or something like that. And it's like sometimes it's hard to get two positive results in a row after a big match, just because like for some reason it kind of messes with you mentally. You kind of almost like not intentionally, but it almost feels like it kind of happens every now and then. You know, the good news is like when you're playing two really solid opponents like what we're playing, two games in a row like this, like, you know that the guys are going to end up being up for it. You know, especially considering it's like you played a Phoenix game where you gave up the first goal and then never looked back. So like you go against Pitt and it's like you allow one, you're going to be like, okay, who cares? You know, you give up two at this point. Like looking at the Louisville game last year in the playoffs, you give up two and you're just kind of like, yeah, okay, who cares? We know we can come back from this and it'll be fine. We just scored five against Phoenix. We can pretty much score who we want to score against. I think we're going to be good. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the guys come out this upcoming weekend now that we're back at home for the first time in ages, it feels like. You know, it's been, what, I mean, it'll be, what, 3 weeks since our last, 4 weeks since our last home game? Like, it's been a while, but it'll be nice to be able to get back on the pitch. I'm psyched for the future without question. And let's go ahead and break into kind of how the season's looking and how the league's going. But first, one person, one group that will never go half full or half empty is Taco Bus. Proudly delivering a full, completely full, healthy, fresh, and authentic Mexican taste experience to our Florida fans. Just one bite of a burrito, tostado, or quesadilla, and your taste buds will be singing traditional Mexican folk songs. Visit us today at one of our 11 locations, and remember to keep it Chido. Matt, you look like you want to say something.
Say Taco Bus is all full.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, that sounds bad. No, that's all full. Two separate words, two L's ending both of them. Not awful.
Always providing full burritos, tostados, and quesadillas. All right, so a few matches from around the week in Week 10 besides the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Tulsa got absolutely annihilated by Orange County in a 5-1 match. That obviously helps the Rowdies since Tulsa is kind of on the outside looking in at the moment on the playoff line. So that was definitely a good result for us. Louisville has finally lost a game. Elville lost 4-3 to LA Galaxy 2. That's a random result if I have ever heard it.
You can say that, but as soon as they started tweeting all this, woke up as the only team in North America without a loss, I was like, I don't know who you're playing next, but you're going to lose. The same way I felt about the Rowdies going into this game. It was like, you know, on paper, it's a road trip, it's Phoenix, you know, a draw might be the best thing you can hope for. This is when the Rowdies tend to go get wins, and sometimes in wild games like this. Like, the level of insight here is not much, but, like, just don't jinx yourself, man. Yeah. As soon as they tweeted that, I knew. Like, whoever they play next, they're going to lose to. So everyone else was like, oh, my God, how do we lose to LA Galaxy 2? Well, you generated some bad karma for yourself on Twitter. That's
how. Pittsburgh last week played El Paso in one of the many East-West matchups during last weekend's fixture schedules. They won 1-0. It was, you know, again, a very traditional Bob Lilly type performance. You know, Pittsburgh's never going to be a team that scores like 100 goals in a game. Like, that's just not really who they are. Big result against El Paso, though. I mean, it's a solid win for them. San Antonio gave some help out to the Eastern Conference by defeating Miami FC 2-0. Again, it just helps. It's helping. It's helping. We appreciate the assistance. The last match that was notable was that Memphis snapped Indy's win streak in a 2-1 match this weekend. That is a big thing just in general. Memphis has been a decent team this year so far, but kind of breaking that Indy streak kind of brings them a little bit, you know, more realistically to the norm and to the mean. So that was, again, these are all important things because these teams like Memphis and Indy, they've got games in hand, right? You know, Miami's got a game in hand. You know, but most everybody seems to have a game in hand on the Rowdies as it seems in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, whenever you're seeing these losses, these are big moments for the Rowdies to kind of solidify our position, which again, we're aiming for second through fourth. Like, that's the goal right now. Presently, looking at the standings, going into tonight, not including the live scoring, you know, the Rowdies are presently in fifth. We got 16 points. We're three outside of a home playoff match. Memphis has that 3-point advantage with two games in hand.
Memphis right now, I'm looking at the standings. Memphis is up 6 points on the Rowdies.
That's because it's a live score. That's because it's a live. You're looking at a live table. That's why.
Well, I live in the present.
So, yeah, it's these are solid things. We've got, you know, points advantage. The big thing right now, too, is the fact that we're now up to a 4-point gap over Tulsa above the playoff line. So, you know, those kinds of things, getting ourselves in a position that we have some buffer room where we're not panicking about missing playoffs, that makes a big difference mentally when you're looking at the long run of the season. The longer you can stay above that playoff line, the better it is for your club mentally. So, you know, we're very, very excited about how this kind of plays out at the moment. You know, +7 goal differential, we're up there with one of the best. You know, that's fourth best in the East right now. I mean, granted, getting four goals, getting positive four to that number this past weekend obviously makes a big difference. But yeah, these little things make a difference, and you gotta say you're excited. Pittsburgh, you know, this upcoming match, they're in second place, 7 wins, 2 losses, a draw on the year. You got +10 goal differential, 22 points overall. So they got a 6-point gap with a game in hand. Their last match, of course, as we mentioned earlier, 1-0 El Paso. The last time we played it, we played Pittsburgh 3 times last year. Had 1 win, 1 loss, 1 draw. The final game of that series was at Pitt. It ended 0-0, and that was in August. Pitt has always been a thorn in the side for the Rowdies. Always. I know everybody's going to look at it like, well, we just beat them 3-0 at the beginning of the year last year. Well, it was also game 2 of the season. Who cares? Like, those games don't really matter much because the other 2 matches was a loss and a draw. And when you look at, like, our record against Pitt, it's been very hit or miss over the years. It's almost exactly .500 against Pitt. Granted, that's because they've got a, you know, future Hall of Fame coach, because everybody loves Bob Lilly, and Bob Lilly is God. But, you know, when you look at the team in general, it's pretty much Dane Kelly and Kenardo Forbes. Like, right now, that's basically the team, especially offensively. Dane Kelly's got 6 goals on the year on 15 shots. He leads both categories. Assists-wise is Hugh Dixon and Kenardo Forbes with 4 assists each. And Kenardo Forbes has 27 chances. Kevin Silva, 11 saves and 3 clean sheets. I mean, it's going to be a very tough match.
I'm sitting over here just covering my mouth because last year on this show, I called Dane Kelly old and washed, and he proceeded to go score a ton of goals after that. And I am not giving him any ammunition. this Pittsburgh matchup is going to be tough. The one thing I would say is that, they're 7-2-1 on the year, but they're 2-2-1 on the road. And those 2 losses have come pretty much in the last month. Since April 16th, they lost on the road in Louisville. Not to be totally unexpected, they also lost on the road in Vegas. Vegas is a better team than they have been in the past. Maybe you factor in the travel as well as that, too. This is going to be a pretty tough matchup. This is going to give you more of an idea, but I don't think you go into this one thinking, well, there's no chance. Let's try and get a draw and call that a good result. I think the Rowdies can win this game. If you can go to Phoenix and win 5-1, I think you have to be feeling you're pretty confident right now. They've got proven players. They've got a proven coach. They have proven themselves so far through their first 10 games. We're the ones kind of going in as, you would almost say, even though it's a home game, that we're kind of going in as the underdogs in this one. And, we'll see what happens.
You know, they play almost a similar system to the Tampa Bay Rowdies. You know, 3 in the back, 2 defensive mids. You know, and then it's some combination of strikers, 2 or 3, you know, depending on the situation. It's pretty similar to how the Rowdies play. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting because with this match being in Tampa Bay, I think you're going to see an open match. I don't think this is going to be a game where Pitt necessarily bunkers against us. I think Pitt's looking to make this kind of a statement of sorts as well. And I think that they're going to be looking to really I think they're looking to get a 3 points from this match. I don't think that they're just going to come in and go, let's just get a point and leave. So I think it's going to be a tough match. I think that, especially with, depending on the number of injuries the Rowdies have going into this match, I think there's a legit chance that Bob could really try and go for it.
I think it's going to be hot and humid and a soupy poopy mess of weather, and they are not going to handle it well in later stages of the game. So I think we have a good chance.
Yeah, I'm excited. Number one, it's going to be first time back at Al Lang in a couple weeks. We get to do a pregame show. We get to go have some fun, have a couple laughs, watch the boys play. Yeah, I think the boys are going to come out for this, and they're going to be feeling confident. And as we know, as we have seen for years now, especially under Neil Collins, when teams play, that's to the Rowdies' advantage. When they bunker down and sit back and just try to absorb pressure, that's when the Rowdies start to have some difficulty. But if you're going to come out there and play a wide-open game, then I'll take our chances against whoever the team is. I don't care.
And Dan, I object to your use of the meteorology in the show. That's that I'm offended by this.
I mean, I did it so scientifically by calling it a soupy poopy mess. So I just want to make sure it's on your standards.
I object because it's
the cloud formation is the soupy poopy. Is that a poopus?
I object because it is still an accurate representation of what this match is going to be like this weekend. I'm very upset about this.
You guys want to run through some listener questions while we're doing this?
Yeah, might as well. Let's get to listener questions and wrap it up.
All right. First one from some random person named Casey. Dan, do you have an update on the groomsmen situation?
No. They don't.
Which sounds like a yes, but you just don't want to go into it on air. I get it.
No, I don't have an answer. Maybe the cool people we were sitting next to at the bar we've watched Liverpool, one of them can step up or something. I don't know.
From Tom Denham, what was your favorite goal from Sunday?
I have to go with the Ehrman goal to make it 3-1.
I mean, I don't think I need to really answer this question because I think it's well documented. But Lakava, man, Lakava, jump on the hype train. Let's go.
It's because Dan doesn't want to say chaos. Okay, yeah, there you go.
By the way, shout out, Lewis Hilton gets lots of love for making Team of the Week. Lakava was on the Team of the Week bench, the bench of the week, I guess. So shout out to him. Let's keep keeping him on the bench rather than in the main graphic, because someone at Red Bull New York might see that and decide it's time to end the loan. And we don't want that happening. I mean, we want him to move on in advance and prosper in his career. But for right now, we just want him to just bang in a bunch of goals for us. I'm going to go, honestly, the Deion Harris goal. Like, I can't remember the last time I've seen a chipped goal from a Rowdies player. And for him to pull that one off kind of at speed was like, you kind of saw it setting up and you saw the keeper was kind of far out there. And I was like, oh crap, if he gets the toe on it, this is going in, and just buried it. I loved that one. I didn't like that he got hurt like immediately afterward, but I did enjoy the goal.
Yeah. I think the Deion injury is probably like a muscle tweak, the way how hard he plays and everything. And in that heat and everything, it wouldn't surprise me, but hopefully it's, good news, and he's back pretty quickly.
Yeah. Which next question, Mike Maroney, any update on Deion Harris? No, but hopefully we'll hear something tomorrow at the press call. From Mitch.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh.
The hell? Guys, I ask you, what the hell?
We did that segment already.
What the hell is exactly what Phoenix's goalkeeper was thinking, as first he gave up 3 Rowdies goals and then his own team turned on him and it was friendly fire. And what the hell was me looking at the referee's face every time he gave out a card, because he was very aggro about it. all right, that's all kind of the soccer related ones. Now we have the the random tangent questions. From Rowdy Heart Tiger, last call ever. Think meteor, not heart attack. What's your order? I'm assuming since he says last call, this means beverages.
Whew. Since it's the last call and I'm about to die, like, I don't know, just give me the bottle of whiskey and let me chug and do a pickleback.
Do you even shot of water with a water chaser?
Yeah, right? Like, hello?
I'll go with something involving absinthe, because that looks like it always has a fun effect on you. And if you're going to go out, you might as well go out not really understanding what's going on around you.
My absinthe experience was definitely a fun one.
And I feel like I had one more, but this wasn't related to the listener question call, but Pittsburgh's podcast asked us, hold on, and I've been trying to think about this one. I should have given you guys a heads up because this requires some thought. If Tampa was a pizza topping, which topping would, and I don't know if they meant the city or just the club. Apparently, this is a bit on their podcast. They said check their latest episode for the context, but I didn't get the chance to check it in time. So take it whichever way you want, the city itself or the club. If it was a pizza topping, what topping would it be and why?
If it's the club, I'm gonna have to say, like, this is hard because I don't put toppings on my pizza.
I say my list of toppings is very narrow, so I don't know. I'm trying to fit it in with the toppings that I don't that I usually eat, and trying to make a connection.
I'm going to say red pepper flakes and garlic, because that's what makes a good New York style pizza for me. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Wait, what's the question again? I had to look something up because I have to amend my answer for the last question. But what was the question for this one about pizza toppings?
If Tampa were a pizza topping, what would it be? And I'll leave it up to you whether they mean Tampa as the town or Tampa as in how everybody else outside the area refers to the club.
Tampa were pizza toppings. We're going like total Mad Max energy here. We're going to do ham, pineapple, and then like a honey sriracha sauce over it. Like, I think that's the way to go with that.
Okay.
Now,
you just haven't ordered dinner yet, and that's what you think you're going to have.
No. All right. I do have to announce, I did try something. I know it's weird. Alcoholic in nature. I know people are going to freak out about this. Have you ever heard, it's a Czech Republic herbal liquor. It's...
I can tell you no right now.
Becherovka?
Nope.
Delicious. Absolutely delicious. Had a friend, not loan me some, but, you know, had a shot of it or whatever. It was delicious. Very good. So there you go. I amend my previous answer.
When did this take place?
Oh, it was at a wargaming night last week.
So the Rowdies are undefeated on weeks where you take shots of Eastern European liquor.
There you go.
Sure, you have a job before Saturday. We'll even count Ouzo, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm just stalling here because I really honestly cannot think of, like, literally I'm just a meats on the pizza kind of guy. Were you guys picking the toppings based on Tampa as a city or Tampa as the team?
Team.
Oh, I was going city.
Okay. All right. You're just going to put like a Cuban sandwich on a pizza?
Trash pile if you're going to go for the city. Maybe they should have asked about St. Pete, and then we could have given them an actual answer. So it's the team. Anyway, screw you, Pittsburgh. Was it Mongols? Was that the podcast?
Yeah.
Maybe they should learn where we play before asking questions about pizza toppings.
Which anytime that that Pittsburgh and pizza get mentioned, I like to bring up the pizza place I've seen online. I have not been there, but I'm tempted to try this, where they put the sauce on the pizza, put it in the oven, cook that, take it out, then put the cheese and the toppings on cold, and that's how they serve it.
Pittsburgh can go to hell.
I'm just going to say Tampa, and I'm going to go with the club, is pepperoni and sausage. They're reliable. They're dependable. If you get it from the wrong place, it may not be as good, but it's a good reliable topping, and that's what the club has been for the last 4 years under Neil Collins' stewardship. Happy anniversary, Neil. I feel like I kind of played my way out of that one. So anything else we need to do? Oh, I do have to – I meant to toss this in there, and I – because I was thinking about it actually during the game as the half empty. I will say, like, the stats look really good, but there seemed to be a more than normal amount of, like, passes to nowhere or people playing the ball along the sideline, suddenly losing control and going out of bounds. Like, there's always work to be done. Hopefully just, and it won't obviously by the coaching staff, I'm sure by the players, it won't get lost in the mix of, hey, we won 5-1. Hey, that was pretty cool. Like, there's still work to do, but like watching them play. So that's half empty, half full, watching them play. Like, there were some shades of the Rowdies from the last 2 years in there, very much so, not just in scoring tons of goals, at will, or using the force to make other teams score goals too. But I think that's it for tonight. Do we want to make predictions for Saturday, or do we want to save it for the pregame show?
Oh, I'm doing a prediction tonight. 100%.
Okay.
100%. Rowdies win 2-1.
Oh God. I'm going to say, I'm probably going to agree with Steven 2-1. I hate to do that for content and agreeing with Steven, but, I'm going to do both right now.
Well, while we're sinking the good ship content, Rowdy's winning 2-1 is what I came into this segment thinking, and I'm just going to stick with it. And we'll
the power of the unsubs together.
we will hang together, or we will surely all hang separately. In the words of Benjamin Franklin. All right, let's wrap this up as we get ready for the Rowdies facing now second place Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Miami Drew, which meant Detroit drops down to fourth in the standings. Miami and Indy are right behind the Rowdies. So Miami's only a point behind the Rowdies now. Indy 2 points behind. Birmingham outside looking in at 3 points behind. We love yous. Do we love anybody this week?
It's got to be Neil, right? 4 years, the turnaround he's done. It's got to go to Neil Collins. Yeah. For me, anyway.
I'm down with that for sure.
Yeah, sure. Why not? We'll go with that. Maybe some love for the Phoenix fans that didn't leave after the own goal to start the second half, since we did see some pictures trickling out. As far as people we always love, our good friends at Wolfface for our theme music, our good friends at Radio St. Pete for letting us do this week after week for several years now. I think they've probably just forgotten that we're here and they don't know. And, you know, it's like the thing in Office Space where they figure it'll just work itself out eventually. To our friends at Shamrock and Corrigan's for being fun places to serve Steven shots of water. He always appreciates it. If you can keep it room temperature, that would be preferred. Thank you, especially to all you guys who tuned in live tonight, sent in your questions. Thank you guys listening later as a podcast. We appreciate you all. Please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review. If you'd like to make it weird, you can go to patreon.com/unusubspod and get into a recurring monthly relationship with this podcast. Plan starting from anywhere from $1 a month. Just kick us a buck or so. We appreciate it. It's the best way to support the show, all the way up to 10, 20, 75, 350, whatever you want, helps us pay the bills, buy new equipment, and all that good stuff as well. Thank you to our sponsors, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. If you're tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, if you're looking for a unique and completely custom kit for your youth club, your Sunday league squad, your adult, or even your pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. And of course, we would be remiss if we didn't remind you to, once you're wearing your fresh new Icarus FC kit and you've got a brand new, it's got that new scarf smell, roughneck scarf around your neck, go over to Taco Bus and get something that you can spill on that jersey, wipe it off your face with the scarf, just dig in and have a good time with our friends from Taco Bus. Gentlemen, we get to go home this weekend.
I'm excited.
We get to do stuff in front of cameras like we're doing now, only where we let other people watch. And they like to watch.
All right. Play the music, please.
All right, everybody. Have a good night. And as always, go Rowdies. The Rowdies are near, the Rowdies are near.